This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One.
Sheboygan, Wisconsin, located on the shores of Lake Michigan, an easy drive from Milwaukee, Appleton, Green Bay, and Oshkosh, is definitely one of Wisconsin and the Midwest's best-kept secrets. Its nickname, believe it or not, is the Malibu of the Midwest. I'm your host, Tom Wilmer. Come along and join me for an exploration of Sheboygan. We'll join Shelley Harms, Public Relations Director at Visit Sheboygan, Jamie Hack, Marketing Manager at the John Michael Kohler Art Center, Sheboygan Mayor Mike Vandersteen, Chad Pelishek, Director of Planning and Development for the City of Sheboygan, and Craig Trost, Communications Director for the State of Wisconsin Department of Tourism. And I promise you'll discover why Sheboygan is the Malibu of the Midwest. Here we are in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. We're with Shelley Harms, Public Relations Director. For the city?
For the city of Sheboygan. Visit Sheboygan is the tourism entity for just the city of Sheboygan, not for the county.
As a tourism entity, do you receive funding from transient occupancy taxes? How are you funded?
We are funded strictly the room tax for the city of Sheboygan. Again, not the county, just the city. So all of our funds, all of our promotions pretty much stays right within the city of Sheboygan.
You also have a Chamber of Commerce?
There is a separate Chamber of Commerce. It's a little bit different where that is the Sheboygan County Chamber of Commerce. Mm-hmm. So they deal with the whole county, redevelopment and housing and getting people to come live here.
As you know, I've been coming to Wisconsin for a long time.
Yes.
Born in Minnesota, across the border. I've known the name Sheboygan my whole life, but I've never had the luxury of coming here, and here I am.
Well, I'm glad you're here. I'm very happy to have you here. It's about time.
How far to Chicago?
About 3 hours. You know, we're really close.
Milwaukee is real close.
Milwaukee is an hour. Chicago is a great destination for us. Even the other side of the state, we're really starting to draw a lot from the Minneapolis area that's coming across. We get a lot of people from Iowa that come here. So, yeah, we're a real easy to get to destination. The car ferry that runs through Manitowoc, which is just north of Sheboygan, brings a lot of people across from Michigan. They take the car ferry across.
How long is that ferry ride?
That's a four-hour ferry ride from Ludington, Michigan to Manitowoc, and then it's another 20 minutes north to get to Sheboygan. So we get a lot of groups that make the loop and cut across, and some people that come up and want to avoid the Chicago traffic, so they'll take the car ferry.
Oh, cool. One of my discoveries that you're quite familiar with is Sheboygan, the Malibu of the Midwest.
It is. And people laugh when I tell them that. They're like, what do you mean the Malibu of the Midwest? I said, surfing. They're like, you can't surf in Wisconsin. You can surf in Wisconsin.
And of all Lake Michigan, this is one of the premier spots?
Yeah, one of the premier spots. You know, people come from all over. Again, the Chicago market is great. We have a real big local community of surfers. We have a surf station right downtown on 8th Street called Eos. Mm-hmm. They do rent out surfboards. They do lessons, and they're a driving force behind a lot of that.
And let's dig a little deeper, because it's not what would probably be in somebody's mind as they're listening to us as to when people surf here.
Well, this is
not the summer.
It's not the summer surfing. It's not the, you know, put on your swim trunks and jump in. It's put on your wetsuit and jump in.
Your 6 mil website.
Yes, exactly. Peak season really here starts in September. The kickoff is usually Labor Day weekend. It's the unofficial kickoff of the surf season. The big surfing is right now. It's September, it's October. It goes all the way through winter.
I saw a picture online of a surfer here, and he had like icicles coming off his nose and his lips.
That was one of the best pictures from last year. He has the beard with all the icicles on it. Somebody did drone footage last year, so there's surfers out there just kicking back on their surfboards with all the little ice chunks floating around them.
Icebergs.
It is, little mini icebergs, but they love it, and it's fascinating to watch. So we had the gale force winds this week. The next day, we're still, you know, 4 or 5 foot waves, and they're out there surfing it, and they were loving it this week.
That is so cool. What a surprise.
It is, and it brings a lot of people, and a lot of people just don't understand it, but they want to be where the action is. So they're down there filming it and watching it and thinking everybody's crazy, but we do have a polar plunge every year on January 1st. same thing. I mean, everybody jumps in. I did it a few years ago myself, and it's quite the experience, and you run into Lake Michigan, but there's people out there surfing around you if the conditions are right, and it's a blast.
On New Year's Day.
Yes, on New Year's Day, it's a good way to start off the new year.
The other thing that I've heard about is Sheboygan being the bratwurst capital of America.
Yes.
Tell us about that and how that happened.
It is. We are the bratwurst capital. We've been fighting back and forth with a number of places over the years, and we had a competition with Ohio quite a number of years back, and we were named the official bratwurst capital of the world.
So you rule.
We do. And the thing is, here it's a little bit different. And I always tell everybody, because I'm like, does everybody know what a bratwurst is? And most people say, yeah, we know what a bratwurst is. And I said, well, how do you serve it? And they're like, well, you put them in those little hot dog buns. Wrong answer. In Sheboygan, the true way of having a bratwurst is to have two brats on a round hard roll, and then you serve it with onions and mustard. And that's your traditional Sheboygan brat.
And what is bratwurst?
Bratwurst is a lot of different meat products that are ground up in casing, a natural casing.
Classic sausage.
Classic sausage, yes, and it's fantastic. We do have a number of local companies. Miesfeld's here in Sheboygan, family-run business, makes championship bratwurst. They do have a wide variety of a lot of number of bratwurst there, but Johnsonville's a big name. That's just a community outside the area. We do have some local butcher shops, so you can find bratwurst anywhere here, and a number of restaurants serve the traditional Sheboygan brat.
Do you have the festival?
We do.
Oh my God.
We do have a bratwurst festival. It's in August. It's a couple of days. It's an excuse to do anything and everything taste-wise for brats. They have brat pizzas. They have brat sandwiches. They have brats on a stick. But it's just a big entertainment value. We bring in some usually bigger name bands that play down there, local bands, kids festival. So it's just a great couple of days of gathering and having an excuse to gather together in a nice summer month.
We drove around town a couple hours ago. I was amazed at the number of new and contemporary modern development and apartments and buildings,
yes,
and retail and commercial. It's head spinning to imagine even what was there 10 years ago.
It has really changed. We're fortunate that our city is very forward thinking and really looking towards the future and the progression of what's going to happen here. We do have a lot of younger people that are coming into the communities, and we've been asking them, you know, what do you want here? Why are you coming here? What do you want to do to make sure you don't leave? And we're just finding that people want to be immersed in their city. They want to be involved in things. A lot of the younger generation doesn't want to own the homes. They just want the apartments. They want to be able to experience things. And we just found that, you know, with the development around here, with Acuity is one of our biggest providers for employment, and these young kids are coming in, and we needed more housing, so there's a lot of condo units. Again, the waterfront, people are gravitating towards the water, so they want to live down there. They want to be where the action is downtown. So a lot of development is going on here. And with that comes the new businesses. People want the small little independent restaurants. They want the little shops and boutiques. They want to walk through the downtown with the arts. So we're putting a lot of the arts, like you're seeing here with the Art Center, throughout the community.
So even though this is an old historic Wisconsin town, it's a new town.
It is.
A really head spinning.
It is. It's really new, and we're really working on some initiatives with the next couple of years. You're even going to see more changes. As I was telling you before, our visitor center is being built. We have a brand new visitor center, actually our first real visitor center in Sheboygan, located on the waterfront downtown, and we want to showcase the waterfront. But we're really showing exhibits in there. So we have a Science in the Spear exhibit, and we're going to have a Science on the Spear outside, and really exploring the next generation of what people want to do, and they want to work with the developments, and they want to talk about what's going on, how do we work with the environment, how do we keep our water clean, how do we, you know, keep the grasses growing. So it's going to be a real educational piece that we're working with.
One more thing, the incredible waterfront lakeside,
yes,
resort hotel, it almost looks like it's out of the movies.
It does.
Shades of the Grand Hotel on Mackinac Island.
Very much so, yes. Blue Harbor is fantastic, and I'm glad you were able to stay there and experience it, because that's a big selling point. We have a lot of properties, you know, within the city. That's a very popular resort-type atmosphere.
And there's a giant water park within that.
I know.
That's incredible.
It is. It's fantastic, and it's really great to have that. You know, sometimes the summer season is so short. They do have an outdoor pool and outdoor area you can use, but the indoor water park, the kids love it, the adults
year round.
That place in the wintertime is from December through April is packed with spring breakers and families and people coming up.
And then it's also a place for business corporate retreats and whatnot, right? Conventions.
The other side of that property is a conference center. So the convention center, today they had, you know, a small convention going on. So it is, it encompasses both worlds. They have the meeting and the corporate ends on one end and the fun family vacations on the other end. So it's the best of both worlds there.
Back to Sheboygan, the big picture.
Yes.
Say you had a girlfriend from St. Paul and they were coming here with her family for the first time. Why would you say, oh my gosh, you got to come here because
first of all, the waterfront, that's key. The activity on the waterfront and just trying new things and getting immersed in the culture. Things are walkable. It's very easy to get around. I mean, you stay in the downtown area. You stay in any of the outskirts. I mean, even the hotel properties off the interstate are 5 to 10 minutes from the downtown area. So it's really spread out. There's a lot of family-friendly, affordable things to do in Sheboygan. And we really stress the affordability of it here. People are really surprised when they find out what the meals cost or the beverages specifically, and just the variety of things there are to do.
And then once again, talking about proximity, you're really close to Green Bay, so you could have somebody that would want to go to a Green Bay Packers game or just experience Green Bay and tie in Sheboygan too, right? Easy.
Very easily. Green Bay is an hour north of us. Milwaukee's an hour south of us. Appleton area is, you know, an hour to our west. So really within an hour time frame, you can stay here for a couple of days. You can stay here for a week and take excursions from one town to the next and come back. We do get a lot of the traffic. We do get a lot of overnight stays because of the Packer game, EAA over in Oshkosh, the conventions coming into Milwaukee that are looking for space, and, of course, all the big golf tournaments are key that Sheboygan is real close to all of that.
You're the surfing capital of the Midwest.
Yes.
You're the Brock capital of the world.
Yes.
One more. Cool.
One more. I think the family-friendly affordability is always the big thing. You know, again, I can't stress that enough, that the affordability of living here, of just visiting here,
dining
here. A lot of the activities that you've done today are free. Your art center that we visited, there's no fee for that. Bookworm Gardens, where we're going to next, is Sheboygan's number one attraction. There's no fee for that.
And what is that again? Tell us a little teaser.
You're going to love that. Bookworm Gardens is a botanical garden, but it's based around children's literature. So every
storybook.
Yes, every garden within this place is based on a different book. It's personally one of my favorite places. I love that. But it's fantastic, and it's great for the young and the young at heart. I bring a lot of different groups there. The senior market loves it, and the kids love it, and it's fantastic.
Shelley Harms, what a joy, what a pleasure to meet you, and finally I've come to Sheboygan.
Well, thank you for coming, and I hope to see you back in the area again.
Malibu, the Midwest.
Yes, it is.
We've been speaking with Shelley Harms, Public Relations Director, Visit Sheboygan. We'll see you there.
Hi, I'm Jamie Hack, Marketing Director of the John Michael Kohler Art Center, here today to let you all know about all the great things that are here in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. Who knew it? But we have a wonderful visual and performing arts center here that's available for community members to work with artists, explore creative thinking and projects. We also have 12 galleries that rotate 2 to 3 times a year that offer contemporary and visual arts for the public to enjoy free of cost, which is really wonderful.
Sheboygan is not a big town.
No, not at all.
Yeah, what's the population here?
I believe we're at 50 to 60,000.
Mm-hmm. Yet this art center you would expect to find in a town of 250,000.
Absolutely, and that's why we always say we're kind of a hidden gem in the area right off Lake Michigan.
Right. The story behind is to how and why this happened here. It has everything to do with the name Kohler,
right?
As in toilets.
Yep. Toilets and Ruth Kohler, who was the visionary of much of this. She was executive director here for many years, and it was really her vision that brought the arts-based preschool here and the wonderful niche collection we have of artist-built environments. And so she's been really crucial in guiding the light there.
So it pretty much was the Kohler family who invested to make this happen, right? Their money?
Absolutely. Not just their money. money. It's sure. definitely but, a nonprofit, but
they,
yeah,
they're the nucleus.
They very much help in supporting the work that is done here. It really makes it wonderful that we're able to explore all those things because of the community support, our member support, and our major donors, some of those being the Kohler entities and Kohler family. So it's really wonderful.
That's so cool. And you're close to the water and close to town. You're very central.
Yeah, very much in downtown Sheboygan on 6th and New York Street is where the John Michael Kohler is. So kind of in the center of the community. We're also located by metropolitan areas. We're an hour from Milwaukee, roughly 2 hours from Chicago. And so it's not a long drive from any of those metropolitan areas to get to Sheboygan either.
Do you get a lot of people coming from the metro areas to experience shows and activities here?
Yeah, I would say a lot of our performing arts shows, maybe not as much because they occur on Tuesday and Thursday mm-hmm. evenings typically, but definitely the gallery viewing is something that we see lots of people from the northern Chicago area or even Madison and Minneapolis and Milwaukee and Green Bay. It's very much a call for those people because there's the Milwaukee Art Museum, which is great as well, but there's lots of other cultural institutions, and one of those happens to be the John Michael Kohler Art Center here in Sheboygan. So it's
and great. Admission is free, right?
Admission is free, yes. We're open 7 days a week. Admission is always free to tour our galleries, and like I said, they change regularly, so you could come 3 times a year and see something different every time.
And you have a lot of classroom space here. You have some really cool projects for kids and grown-ups.
Absolutely. We have a free art-making space that families and visitors who would go through the gallery can be inspired and create their own creative musings and artwork in our artery. We also have paid classes like ceramics and jewelry classes, mosaics and stained glass, all those kind of creative practices taught by artists. And you can take home your own special project that way too or learn about a craft a little bit more.
So there really is a community center dynamic here.
Yeah, we really try to make the John Michael Kohler Art Center feel like a third place, and that being accessible to everybody, we want all types of people. We never want anybody to feel like this is not their space or that it's too highbrow for them. We really try to make sure that the community feels like this is a space that they can always be welcome in and meet their community and work alongside them.
And you have a lot of kids, student things that are ongoing.
Yes. We have, like I said, we have an arts-based preschool here for over 45 years, I believe. And so there's always little ones here that are inspired by the art and using art-based curriculum to grow their learning. We also have school group tours that are very centered at coming here and touring the galleries and offering great workshops to follow and curriculum that the teachers can bring back to their classrooms to engage in as well. So we really try to touch all areas of the community and work with that, and especially in our Connecting Communities program, tying different cultures of the community together too and kind of learning one another and cultures through art making and art practice.
That's so cool. Somebody really has to come here to get it, don't they?
You know, that's what I always say. It's like, once you step foot in, you're a believer. But a lot of times you have to take that foot through the threshold of the John Michael Kohler Art Center to really feel all the great things that we have to offer. So I always encourage people, if you're even kind of skeptical of coming, give it a shot and you'll see that it's a place that you'll want to be and come to again and again.
So if somebody wanted to learn more, where would you direct them?
Our website is always a great opportunity at jmkac.org, or you can call us at 920-458-6144. Feel free to give me a call and ask for Jamie Hock. I'm always happy to provide tours or provide more information in that way too. So once again, Jamie Hock is also a great contact to get in touch with. I'm happy to share. So please check us out.
Jamie, thanks for sharing.
Wonderful. Nice to meet you.
You too.
Mike Vanderstein, mayor of the city of Sheboygan.
Mike, did you grow up here? Is this your hometown?
No, I grew up a little bit north of here in Green Bay, but I moved here in 1973 for business reasons, and I really, really love the area, and very happy to be their mayor.
And did you get into politics first as mayor, or did you kind of city council and work your way around?
I worked my way up. The main thing I did is I joined the local JC chapter and got involved in the community. And that led to an appointment to some city committees. I ran for alderperson, served for 4 years. I actually ran for mayor back in 97 in Long lost. And then I went on to work for the county board as a supervisor for the next 15 years, serving the last four of those years as county board chairman. And then there was a race that opened up for mayor again, and I said, I'm going to give it one more try. And I beat the incumbent mayor by 197 votes out of 8,000.
And when was this?
That would be in 2013. I ran for re-election once, so I'm on about 6.5 years now into an 8-year term.
And it's full-time for you?
Yes, it's a full-time mayor's position.
Why did you want to become mayor, and what did you hope to accomplish, and what are you accomplishing?
Well, the one thing that I was able to start on when I was county board chairman is bringing the city and the county closer together, breaking down those silos between our two organizations, and really working for what's best for our citizens. You know, they don't recognize those barriers. They just know they're paying taxes, and they want them to be spent properly.
Give us an example.
Well, one of the things that we were able to do is to have a joint purchasing agent. Not only did we share a position, so it cost us half as much, but in addition, that purchasing agent saw what we were both doing and found ways to bring us closer together. We had, you know, like separate tanks for all of our vehicles to gas up. And what he did is he said, well, those tanks were failing, and rather than having to replace them, why don't we take them out and go on a contract for purchasing gas? So we put an RFP out, they responded, and now we all go to a local gas station and we charge our gas, and we get a really good buying discount because of the larger buying power that we have.
I imagine to put in new tanks would have been quite expensive.
Correct. So it saved us a capital expense, and our ongoing operating expense was at least flat to a little lower. Some of the other projects we worked on is putting in a common and shared CAD RMS system to run our dispatch. We had two separate dispatch locations, and we were able to work with the county to merge that. So all dispatch for EMS and emergency is all coming out of the Sheriff's Department now, and we merged all of our employees with them. So that was another big move, and it really didn't save money, but it made things a little bit safer and better operating. The main thing that we had a problem with is we have one 911 call-in area, and whenever a call would come in on a cell phone, that means that the county would have to patch it over to the city. So somebody would be all excited, there's an emergency, and they, hold on just a minute, we have to, and then you can tell somebody your problem. So that delay was not good. It just made it much more friendly to the customer that's calling in to respond immediately to their need.
And how about education and opportunities empowering your citizenry?
Well, you know, our school district has been a really strong organization. One of the projects that we put together to help them out is the data and things that we have are so important today. So the city, the county, and the school district put together what we call a ring of fiber around the city. Each of us paid cooperatively to pay for that ring of fiber, and then we all paid individually to connect our buildings to that. And then we have one connection to WISNET on the north side of town. So that ring of fiber will take care of our needs for data, the internet and everything for many years to come.
In the classroom and everywhere.
Yeah, correct.
That's really cool. So what is your biggest challenge? What's your biggest frustration?
Well, you know, talking to a few of the people today, we've heard a lot of comments about how great and fun it was to do the tour today and see what Sheboygan is. And, you know, we get those comments from a lot of people that look at us from the outside, but the people that live here kind of got used to it, and it's like they don't perceive it as something special.
They take it for granted. Yeah.
Exactly. That's one of the challenges. The other one of the real critical challenges is to keep up with our street programs. When I came into office, the city was resurfacing about 2.2 miles of streets on average every year for the past decade, and that really hurt ourselves. Now we're trying to play catch-up. So last year, we resurfaced 7.2 miles of streets, almost tripling our past production, and we have to continue to be aggressive with that. We ended up purchasing our own asphalt paving machine. Our county is a really robust road building area. The state passed some laws that they can't resurface. You know, the road builders got involved. So by purchasing that machine, we can repave those roads with our crews, but we can buy our asphalt from them at a reduced price and make the few dollars that we have go much further than they would have otherwise. So when we have a concrete street that's showing a need of repair, we can put a fresh layer of asphalt on it, and when that street or another one that has asphalt that's failing, we can have somebody mill it off and our crew can come in and put, again, a fresh coat of asphalt on. So that gives us a really good chance to catch up and improve all of our streets.
Anything you want to add? Any secrets that you want to share?
Well, you know, Sheboygan has a couple of titles. One of them that I was involved in early when I was in JC's is the Bratwurst Capital of the World. So we have a strong German heritage, and we've got some really good bratwurst. The other thing that's unique about Sheboygan is we claim to have the best freshwater surfing on the Great Lakes. The other day, when the winds were up really high, I went down there and I counted 28 surfers out there in their wetsuits taking advantage of that. And then on our South Beach, that's been a real strong area for the kite surfers. So we call ourselves the Malibu of the Midwest.
Mayor, thank you so much for sharing.
Great to be with you, and thanks for making the trip to Sheboygan today.
My pleasure. If somebody wanted to learn more about Sheboygan, where would you direct them?
The mayor's office. I'm Mike Vandersteen, and City Hall's address is 828 Center Avenue. And then they can also go to visitsheboygan.com, and they can see some of our latest travel brochures and things like that. But I'd love to respond to any people's interest. We really appreciate, again, the time to talk about Sheboygan.
Mike, thanks again.
You're very welcome.
I am Chad Palaszczuk with the City of Sheboygan. I am the Director of Planning and Development.
You're the guy with vision and put a pulse beat to where your needs are in economic development, right?
That is correct. Everything that happens on the city front is done through my staff and myself, and the visionary and the implementation and getting it to completion is all under our roof.
I just learned minutes ago from the mayor that you guys are involved right now on the threshold of creating a national marine sanctuary.
That's correct. Back in, I think it was 2009, the idea of a national marine sanctuary came to fruition here, and it took some time to get it together. But ourselves and our friends to the north, Manitowoc and Two Rivers and Port Washington, all band together and have worked with the state to submit an application to become a national marine sanctuary.
And what is that going to do for you? How is it going to game shift?
We think that it's just another way of putting these communities on this in the spotlight and on the map and international travel and national travel. And
so it's more awareness than it is oversight and protection.
It's oversight and protection as well, but it's more awareness and just marketing and an asset to these hundreds of shipwrecks that are under the Lake Michigan in this area that are fully intact, and they look like they just kind of floated along and sank in these areas, and people don't even know that it exists.
And some are over 100 years old, right?
That's correct, yeah. And most of them are intact. The masts and everything are still standing.
That's spooky.
It is actually spooky, and you know, one of them down in Port off the course of Port Washington, actually, even it was transporting cars from Detroit, and it still has Model T cars in the bottom of it.
Wow, that's really cool. So that's a whole diver's world, huh?
That sure is, and yeah. I think there's definitely a market for there's technology for non-divers, and there's technology for divers. So there's remote operated vehicles that can be put down in different things as it relates to, you know, people that want to see it from on the surface or go under the water.
That's really cool. Okay, back to Sheboygan and your biggest challenges, the things that you are accomplishing and you would like to accomplish.
The biggest challenge I think we have is we're a community that's landlocked. We're an older community. We do have a lot of manufacturing jobs. The idea is that workforce is an issue, and how do we keep people here, and how do we keep the younger generation here and get active in the community and want them to be employed here to fill these positions. So we talk about education being a key point of it. We've got a really unique situation where about 10 of our employers have invested in our high schools and developed advanced manufacturing wings, known as the Red Raider program, where students are exposed as part of tech ed classes to...
Still in high school
to advanced manufacturing, and they get that working on a CNC machine and those different things right in the high school.
So
and
when they graduate, they are skilled, trained, ready to go to work.
That is correct. They're all skilled and ready to move forward, and they also then have a partnership with a four-year college and a technical college that you can get courses, you can use those courses for credits for general education requirements so that when you get out, you maybe just have 2 years of school left and you're working for a manufacturer who probably is going to pay your tuition.
So you do have employers who are literally investing in the kids and covering their tuition.
Yes, and we have employers like the CUDI Insurance Corporation who is going into the grade schools and the elementary schools to already talk about programming and what they do and getting people excited at that level.
Very cool. Okay, a couple more in your economic development world that Most challenging or most proud?
Most challenging, I think, to this point has been housing. We have a lot of people moving into the community. We have limited new housing, so we've really worked hard on trying to, you know, fill that up. And, you know, we're a small community sandwiched between two large communities. We're 50 miles from Milwaukee and 50 miles from Green Bay, so we're kind of our own market. Mm-hmm. And how do we attract and attain people here? So that's our biggest challenge. And I think one of our biggest successes, though, is we're a small town community on the lakeshore with a lot of great quality of life aspects that people want when they move to a community.
Are you able to build affordable housing now to meet that need?
We are in the
How do you pull it off?
There's a lot of city assistance in getting the deals done, but we've built about 300 apartments in the last 2 years, and we have another roughly 250 under construction. So it's really just about being creative and working with people and trying to find ways to make it happen and be open to that type of use, and our leadership has embraced that.
And will that build out meet the current demand? Still behind the curve?
We'll still be on the curve. I think our projections are 500 units a year for the next number of years, so we'll see where we go from there. But it's definitely has helped, and it's, you know, changing the way this community looks at things.
Well, I should let you go so we can have dinner.
Sounds good.
Okay, so if somebody wanted to learn more about your world, where would you direct them?
I would direct them to the City of Sheboygan's website, which is sheboyganwi.gov, or come to me directly, Chad Pelishek. I'm the Director of Planning and Development, and my phone number is 920-459-3383 if anybody wants to learn anything more.
Cool. Thanks for sharing.
No problem. Thank you.
Greg Trost, here we are in Sheboygan, Wisconsin.
Yeah, Sheboygan's a great place, isn't it? Are you having fun?
I am. This is first time for me, but you did some sneak previews in your previous life, huh?
Oh, absolutely. I've worked here. I helped out some college students here, one of my first jobs out of college, and it was great. So I love Sheboygan.
I think one of the funniest things is to discover that locals call it the Malibu or the Midwest.
Hang 10, man, right? It's pretty awesome. You don't think of surfing in the Midwest, but it really is an amazing place. We are right here on one of the Great Lakes, which is awesome. The day before we were in, they had 10 to 12 foot wave swells. So it is really a special place for surfers, and you can get some awesome freshwater surfing here.
The other two dynamics, culture, art.
Amazing. The culture and the art are great. We got a wonderful tour of one of the Kohler art centers, and it was so fabulous. I absolutely love it. You know, Sheboygan is more than just what it's known for, which is great brats.
And back to surfing in the Midwest, we ought to tell people that this isn't in the middle of the summer surfing, wintertime.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And people were out there. They were windsurfing, kite surfing, regular old surfing, surfboard surfing. People get out there in all kinds of weather out here. It's just a blast to watch. And, you know, we got a great day where the weather was, you know, the sun was out, it was calm, and there was nobody out there surfing. But day before, there were people out there with their kite surfing and doing tricks, and it was pretty awesome. We're a hardy folk out here in the Midwest, particularly in Wisconsin. And, you know, we don't let the weather get us down. We just think it's an opportunity to put another layer on and get out and have some fun outside.
Greg Trost, thanks for sharing. This is great.
Yeah, absolutely. Can't wait to have you back.
I'm ready. I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Wisconsin. We'll see you here.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world.
Associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Molly Blaisdell, San Francisco, and Katya Singel, San Luis Obispo, California.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided in part by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. People often associate the Society of St. Vincent de Paul with thrift stores. Donations like clothing, your gently used couch, or still serviceable washing machine generate funds to assist the society in putting food on the table for people in need, or keeping the lights on and families in their homes. To find a St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in your area, visit svdpusa.org.